Welcome to New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I investigate unfolding of new realities that are happening on the planet, and people who I feel are looking at a bigger picture. Tonight's guest is very much involved with that. He's spent his life traveling around the world, lecturing, giving workshops on human potential. His name is Paul Lowe, and since 2007, he's really been retired, and I'm happy he's here with me today. Welcome, Paul. Thank you.
Hi, Alan. Hi, everybody listening.
I think we have a good crowd listening tonight, and I think people are curious what you've been up to. I know you spend a lot of time, even though you said you wanted to retire, you seem to be spending a lot of time online looking at the world from a bigger perspective than you did, or a different perspective than you did when you were giving workshops. Well, talk about what's changed for you since you stopped touring, and maybe how you see things differently now or deeper, or just tell us where you're at.
Well, in one way, I don't see anything at all. It's as though life just unfolds in each moment, and whatever we call me seems to respond to that. So it just keeps opening up. Yeah. In one way, something happened sometime, I don't know when there was a realization, but again, I don't know whether it's true. I don't know if anything's true, but everything is just perfect the way it is. It's always perfect. And there seems to be always another possibility, even although it's perfect, there are other levels, depths, dimensions to the possibility. And that's what I found out in my life. Every now and again, there's been so this is it. And then in no time at all, along comes another level and another level. So I could say I'm just here, mm-hmm. moment to moment, doing whatever comes up, and always open, always available, always listening.
Well, let me just ask you about that part, because you say you're in the place where everything is perfect, just as it is, and then you say you feel there can always be another level. Does that happen at the same time? Or, I mean, wouldn't that take you away from the perfectness of the moment to see that there's always another level? I'm just trying to get clear how it happened.
Yeah, I'm following you there.
Right.
You see, when you ask a question, I don't know the answer. So when you ask a question, I like that, because I get to look for myself, because I don't really look at things in that way. I just let things unfold. So when you say, so being in the moment and being open at the same time, that's not a contradiction to me. That is part of the moment, that even although this moment is complete in itself and perfect, there is also another depth to it. So I'm open to experience that depth.
But do you ever...
Does that explain?
Well, almost. I'm just thinking, also maybe I'm still getting a little bit of an echo. Can you maybe speak a little closer to the mic, or so there's more direct... But what I'm getting is... Will you ever, or is it possible to ever be at a place where you are just there with nothing about there could be another level? Like if this, not like this is it, but you are just at the place where it's all perfect and you are at all levels all the time.
Ah, well, you see, when that happens, I have no consciousness. I'm not conscious of myself. In fact, I'm only really conscious that something has happened or not happened when I come back. But when I'm in that space where nobody's around, no, the telephone isn't ringing, I'm blending with whatever is, I'm not really conscious of a self. I don't really have a thought. And then maybe the phone rings or something happens or some wild animal pops up. And then it's as though coming from some zooming back into the body again. Mm. And as soon as I'm back in the body again, then I'm aware of thoughts. Because unless that happens, there are thoughts. And I don't seem any longer involved in the thoughts. So the thoughts aren't running me the way they used to. But I'm evolved that the thoughts are there. And every now and again, the thought brings up something that's relevant, something that needs to be done or taken care of. But when I'm in that space, I'm not I. So that space is. And then something happens, back I come into the body, back I come into the mind, back I come into time in a way, and still being aware that I'm not caught up in the body and the mind. There is still, it's not a separation because it includes the mind, it includes everything, but it is not of it. It is the mind is included in whatever the state is, but the state isn't realized by the mind.
Mm, I think I get that. I'm interested in this state, though, of no mind that you are in when you're by yourself. And so in a way, are you saying there's no awareness in that state? You don't know you're in that state? You're just aware when you're back, not in that state?
You see, Alan, I don't know, because I might be aware in that state, but I don't know when I come back. You know, when you invited me on this program,
yeah,
and I wrote you an email, I said it would probably be in the abstract. It would probably be something very nebulous and things I can't explain to myself. And you're really good at asking those questions. So when you ask the question, I have to look for myself because I don't normally think about these things. Mm. Even when I'm writing, I don't think about what I'm writing. It's as though the writing comes through and I just let it come through. So this state, there's no, I am not aware of being in that state. My guess is there is an awareness in that state, but not what we normally call awareness. Mm. It's not anchored anywhere. It doesn't have a position. It doesn't have an opinion. It doesn't know anything. It just is. It's like being, well, the animals around here, we have lots of animals around.
Yeah, Paul's koalas. In Australia. He's living on the northern east coast outside of Byron Bay. So, yes. Yes.
Up in the hills.
Yes.
Isolated. Yeah. And the animals have got closer and closer and closer. So the koala is one of the shyest. And the other day I was walking up the driveway and the koala was walking towards me. So I sat down and it kept walking towards me. And I could see the koala. I could see it was walking, but it was as though the mind wasn't saying anything or doing anything. It wasn't even talking to the koala. And it kept coming and coming and coming and then sat down in front of me. Mm-hmm. The other day, a big pigeon, it's about three times the size of a normal pigeon, white-necked pigeon, landed on my shoulder, just landed there and stayed there. Snakes come, and they don't take any notice of us. They just slide past, and it's when there's a sort of emptiness there. So in this state, I have a feeling that something blends in and doesn't make a separation with the duality of the mind, saying good, bad, right, wrong, here and there, me and you. This melts into something. But you see, I don't know that in that state. I can only guess it when I come back.
Is there also a kind of physiological, I mean, because it sounds like your field is emanating a different vibration that animals can be comfortable with. I was wondering if the physical body also benefits from being in that state.
Yes, it does. And I think also the vibrational emanence as well, what it gives out, what it radiates, is also, let's say, peaceful and friendly.
Right. So, but if there's an increase in health, would you say, or?
Yeah, the health is good. Yeah.
From being in this, so in a way, the physiology and the mental state all go together, and I'm just thinking, is it possible for maybe everyone to be in this state? Could we have a functional society? I mean, maybe you don't know because you're not there when you're in that state. So it's,
well, I don't know whether it's appropriate for everybody. When I say everything is perfect, I think everybody is getting exactly what they need, which doesn't mean to say they keep needing it, because I think once they get what they're there for in that moment, as once they get their situation, the situation changes as they're moving on. I think the same as everything else in the universe, we are evolving. And if we keep responding to our invitations, then we evolve. And we get stuck in situations when we keep rejecting it. So most people, most of the time, do not live their truth. Most people don't even know what the truth is, but they don't live their truth. They're not in the situation they want to be. And so in this denial, in this refusal in a way, they contract. And when they contract, they stop being a suitable receptor for the frequencies and the vibrations and the information, either whatever you call it, from the higher self, from somewhere else, or they're not getting what's appropriate for them in each moment. And if you talk to most people, you'll see that. Look in their eyes and they're not there. It's their mind is talking. Their computer is talking. They're more like a robot. And if ever you say, excuse me, it's like they shake their head and they come back. And they're back in the body. Oh, what went on? What did you say? And for a moment, they're there. Same as if on television you see a program where somebody is not expecting it and a benefactor says, I love what you're doing. Here's a check for $100,000. The look on that person's face, just in their moment, they're there. They're there. Out of the mind, present. Even although they don't know what's going on, the mind has stopped. They're present. Very rare.
They're present, yep. But then you're also saying that, I mean, there's a place where you're not present. Do you know what you just said before all that when you kind of go off? So I'm just trying to kind of bring what you said about people being present to where you said you were. I mean, I know it's different, but can you see that it's different and maybe it doesn't sound?
In that moment, yeah. In that moment, Alan, it's not different. Their mind stops. And if you ask them what just went on, they don't know what went on. The mind stops. Jesus was asked what is heaven like, and he's reputed to reply, there is time no more. When people do the Satori group with Claire Soloway or Kira Kay, when they have a Satori, that's one of the things, there's no time. There's no, everything is still and still moving. Everything is peaceful and yet alive, but it stops in one way, and then everything's alive, but still and peaceful. So in that moment, their mind stops, and then they're back. Oh, that means, and there they are again. So in this state, I'm probably, that's right. Okay, good. When I was traveling in Germany a long, long time ago, there was a very famous psychic there. I forget her name. Very famous. She used to get thousands of letters a day because she did all sorts of healing. And when I went to see her, somebody took to see her. She says, oh, there you are, Paul. And then she started chatting to me as though I knew who she was. And I made it clear. She says, oh, I thought you knew. We go to a place, and I don't remember how, and we're all there together talking about the state of the planet and how we're going to be available for the change of consciousness is coming and the chaos is going. And she knew me and she knew how I worked and everything about me, but I didn't know her. I don't remember being in that place and come back, but there wasn't any doubt to her. So I think the possibility is that when I'm in that other state, I'm perfectly awake and aware and cognizant. But it's when I come back that I don't. And again, I have been told by psychics, lots of psychics, that I'm not being allowed to know, because if I did, I couldn't stay in the body.
Uh-huh.
And that leads me to some more theories. I don't know this, but it is said that when your desires decrease, staying in the body is very difficult. Because being in a body is a desire. Everything's a desire. No desire, you're back into the unknown, into the unformed. Mm-hmm. That's the way I see it. So what they're saying is, if I realized that, I wouldn't be able to stay here. And my function is the same as many of you listening to this right now. Your function is, your main function is not to work on your stuff. Your main function is to be available when this change comes. And to talk to people around them and say, it's okay, it's okay. Mm-hmm. And if you don't realize that now, you're going to. You've got, let's say, information in you that's being unlocked. And I know many of you are having that. You write to me and say, suddenly, and then you tell me about some otherworldly experience that's happening to you. Many of us are here for the change of consciousness that's happening on the planet. But I'm going to say again, I don't know that. I don't know anything. That's my theory. That's my feeling. That's my sense.
Well, talking about that psychic in Germany, there was something I remembered when we were in Hawaii, and it's when the whole 9/11/2001 thing happened. We were all there together, and you gave a talk that night, but then I was sleeping out, and in a dream, you came to me and said, let's go. And we went to the scene of the disaster and did something energetically there. But I remember us going someplace. And who knows if that's real, but it just reminded me of that dream I had 10 years ago when we were on the road. So we do.
So maybe we're eligible for first responders compensation.
But we were etheric, so I don't know. It's just
so we get etheric compensation.
But there seems to be the other levels of existence of being that we are all operating on. I think this whole movement towards 2012, whether that's anything or not, is at least, and it's what you just said, a realization of something bigger, that we're part of this collective mind, this collective consciousness, and we're moving towards a global realization of that. That's my feeling about the future. What do you get? I mean,
well, if you remember when we were when we had that group of 66 people in Italy, we used to meditate several times a day. And what we were told were we were being visited by extraterrestrials who were giving us information for what is coming to the planet. And they told us how to prepare and what was going to happen. One of the things was said, come to Australia. But one of the other things is they said that the veils, the levels are going to become more and more transparent, and many more people are going to see what's happening simultaneously in this moment on many levels. The more contracted we are, the less we see. So again, at that villa in Italy, 66 people looked up in the sky, 30 people saw the UFO, and 36 people didn't see it. It's So my theory is it's something to do with our vibration. What we were told is everything's going to get more chaotic. Things that people are holding inside that starts to become polluted will start to manifest on the outside in material form. And that could be why we're getting more wars, more violence, more stabbings, more shoot. It's everything is starting to become thinner. And we're starting to see through and experience different layers and different levels that I feel are happening all the time. There isn't time, there isn't space. It's all here. And the veils are starting to melt and we're starting to see things. And if we're conscious and present and as honest as we know how to be, we get high on that. But if we're still lying and we're still not being honest and straight and holding things back, things get more uncomfortable for us. So I think everything's happening at the same time, and it's up to us what we make ourselves available for. But if we do, of course, we might get the message that stop doing what you're doing or go deeper in. It might mean change, and human beings hate change.
But you know what you're saying though also is it's a change is the most exciting thing happening on the planet, and
absolutely, and it's always happening. Change, there is only change. Everything's changed. Bring an electron microscope into anything, it's changed. But the thing is, or as it seems, it's speeding up, really speeding up.
It's always happening, yeah, but we're hitting some kind of points, this, you know, a climax or something. It seems that way.
Yes, it could be the tipping point. So what we're reading, even in science, is everything has a finite life. Everything keeps expanding, expanding, expanding to a certain point. And then it either pops into a new level of being evolved or it destroys itself and collapses. And it could be that we're leading up to this tipping point where we're being given the choice, which way are we going to go? And I see that it's all up to us individually. Collectively, it can't happen. It can't happen. Because people who are trying to run organizations, they're trying to make something happen in theory, but they're not doing it in their own lives. They're not being present and honest. I've been consulting peace organizations, and they're fighting. It's each one of us in each moment, how are we living? And if enough of us start to, old-fashioned word, purify our behavior, ourselves, the body will clear up, the mind will clear up, and the frequencies will clear up. And when all these come together, it can just shift us into a whole new level.
And we're going there. But you said, and before, we were here to accept invitations from the universe. How do we know when something's an invitation and when it's a distraction?
Alan, we absolutely know. You can feel it. And then the mind comes in. And the mind only works in duality so that it comes in and it says, ah, but what about this and what about that? And remember the last time you tried it went wrong. And there it is going up. And in the meantime, you're missing. You know, you can feel it. It's a sense. But it might mean, again, what Jesus said, take no thought of the morrow. Let the morrow take thought of itself. Don't look before you leap. Get the feeling, leap. And it doesn't matter where you land. You start your life there. And in the meantime, you've had some experience. But you keep doing the same thing in the same way with the same people in the same place. What's going to happen? You're going to stay the same.
So the thing is to look for the opportunities that are around us all the time, obviously. But it's bringing.
Alan, you don't have to look. They're looking for you.
But people are so – I mean, there has to be something – that knocks on the door of that box that people are in because they're looking. But when you know when you're in a pattern, there's that's all you see is the pattern. I know you've addressed this for years.
Alan?
Yes.
This program right now, in this moment, is the invitation to many people. This program, this moment, is their invitation. Are you going to go on doing the same thing in the same way, the same people? Or are you really going to take a look at your life and say, what are other possibilities? Is what I'm doing now still appropriate? And how many people stay in the same relationships, the same jobs, the same place, and it's dead, it's over, and you know it.
But they've been so conditioned by fear and dogmas and religions and all those things that, I mean, I'm not saying that's a good excuse, but that is what's been brainwashing, conditioning the human species. And this is an invitation for people listening to say, maybe there's something more. Maybe I'll consider a new job, a new place, a new city, this is why I'm doing it. I'm doing this program because I know each week, you know, I talk to people who are doing something different, who discovered new possibilities. There was a guy a couple of weeks ago who created a time warp generator, this guy David Anderson. He says, I can bring things back into the past and forward into the future. And he's actually getting money for it. But most people are shocked. They can't cognize that. It's too strange. But he says, you know, the wars of the future will be time wars. And it's like, it just blows your mind, which I guess is a good thing, to consider that. It's very exciting for me. And you know, you spend a lot of your time on the internet and looking at, I think, at the world situation. Are you looking at that from a personality point of view? Are you looking at that from, I mean, I'm sure you're looking at it from a big perspective, but how does it impact you, what you're seeing, and what do you feel you can do about it? Yeah, what's your impression of the world situation through your window on the internet?
Well, first of all, in reply to that, where this that we call Paul comes from is totally different from where the mind normally comes from. So when he says anything, it's not so easy to connect with what he's saying because it comes from a totally different perspective. In fact, it comes very much from what Jesus says, take no thought of the morrow. There isn't any reason for anything. It's a response. So I could say in one way, in part of my brain, I would love it all to go away and that I don't go on in the internet anymore. I don't need to write anything. I don't need to see anything. But there's something there. I wake up in the morning and I wake up with something and it won't let me go until I've written it. I sit down. It's information. I sit down to write it. It comes pouring through. I can't even talk fast enough to catch up with it, let alone type. And then after it's there, I go through it again and again and again and again. And it's like it's tuning itself. It's making a cadence. It's making a rhythm. And then it suddenly goes click. It's ready. I press send and it's gone. It's gone out of my mind. It's gone. It's gone. But until I do that, it's like a sneeze that wants to happen. So why? There isn't a why. It just comes and it feels appropriate. And
like you could not do, I mean, if you resisted, you would not be taking the very thing you said, the invitation from the universe to.
And I wouldn't be honest to myself.
But there's a part of you that would prefer not to do it in a way. So there's these two parts, right?
Very mildly.
Is that?
I don't let get in the way of anything.
So there's still the little personality of Paul that rather, you know. What did you say? Why run if you can walk? Why walk if you can stand? Why stand if you can?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
But there's this other thing that is using you, or you're using it as a vehicle for communication, and that's always been the bigger part in you.
Well, this is what the psychics have told me. Ever since I've been really young, my first psychic in my late teens or early 20s said, "Oh, thank you for coming." And then they were highly respectful to me, which didn't mean anything to me. Incidentally, she gave me some information that came true many, many years. Still, there's one big one still to come. Mm. And other psychics have said, from all over, Kahuna, all sorts of people have said, "You're part of a team. And there are eight people, entities around you. And you're the one that's drawn the short straw. You're the one that's come into this dimension, into the physical dimension, to carry out those parts." You see, this is the way I see it. Those people that are not in bodies, they don't get this dimension. It doesn't matter how advanced they are, how clever they are. You can't get the material dimension until you're in it. And you can't even get it fully unless you come through the birth process. You go through the whole process of being programmed and unprogrammed and so on. You've got to be here. That's why when a lot of the channelers do their channeling, say Bashar and so on, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. What's the other one? Can't remember. Wonderful and transfixing. But their vibration, even although it comes through a medium, doesn't go very deep into us because it's not our frequency. It's a different sort of frequency. They're not in a body. Mm. When somebody's in a body and living it, even if they're not talking, they're radiating a particular frequency. And what I've been told is that's my role in this part of the team. And part of that is to wake up the people that need waking up to what they've come here for. And that means many of you listening at the moment, you're not here just for you. You are here for something much bigger than you. And that's why I say, stay open, keep listening, look for any invitation in any way, because what you need, not necessarily what you want, what you need is there now. Mm. Now.
But it's also not an individual, it comes through the individual, I mean the people listening, but it's like we are all connected to this web of awareness.
And the more we connect, the more powerful becomes the frequency. You see, each one of us that lies or does something dishonest or holds back, we send out a frequency, and that collects somewhere. That collects in the politicians. That collects in the ruthless industrialists. It collects somewhere, and they act out our stuff. Mm-hmm. But it can work in reverse. The more loving and caring and open you feel, that can go out, and that can connect. And we can, like we're doing right now, we're all connecting with each other over this radio program. Mm-hmm. And with the inspirational mailing list that goes out to a couple of thousand people, it unites us. And when we unite, the frequency, the vibration becomes stronger. It's the same when Mahesh Maharishi used to send his disciples to a place. He sent thousands at one time to meditate. The crime rate dropped. It's when you get this energy together, it becomes more powerful.
So, I mean, when you look at it that way, when we're at the edge of awareness or the edge of the moment, we're sort of, it's exhilarating to feel we're riding a wave into the unknown.
This is such an exciting time on this planet. All sorts of being here are scrambling to get there. They're squeezing past the condoms and the pill and anything to get into a body this time.
Right. No, it's funny. I mean, just going back a little bit to what you said about your writing, I also want to tell people a lot of what comes through Paul is on the New Realities website. Paul has his own blog there. So I'm very happy you're part of that because it's inspired lots of people who aren't on the mailing list who just may be coming across you for the first time and feeling this excitement that you've had in a way your whole life. You've gone for it. And would you think there's ever a time when you meet these other eight beings, or you merge with that and yet still stay in the body, or in a way it doesn't matter to you?
No, it doesn't matter. But I want to pick up on one more thing, John.
Yes.
Alan, you said going for it.
Yes.
And this is just a technical thing, but it's not going for it. It is not resisting it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go for it. If you don't resist, it does you.
Yes.
When your job's finished, you'll know. When your relationship is finished, you know. When it's time to go deeper into your relationship, you will know. It's always there and it's always obvious. So it isn't something you do, it's something you don't do. You don't resist it. You don't fight it. You don't fight.
We forgot how to know. I think that's a big problem with humanity.
Yeah.
So how do we start to know what we know and tap into a feeling of that?
Listen. So all of you listening now, this isn't just to entertain you for a while. This is an invitation for you to be here right now with not only what you're hearing and thinking, but feeling and sensing, and then carrying on that to live it in your life, actually live it.
I mean, I think the situation on the planet, the situation with reality, is all priming us for exactly that moment where something, perhaps worldwide or who knows, but where the past will no longer be relevant at all. It seems like we're heading towards that tipping point, and it's also.
Well, I see it slightly different.
Yeah,
Alan.
Tell me.
But I don't know this. I don't know this. But this is what I feel or sense is a possibility. Everything that's happening on the planet is an opportunity for us. So all the dishonest politicians and industrialists and the bankers and everything that's going on at the moment is an opportunity. May not be conscious, but it's giving us this opportunity that are we going to stay lazy and follow? Are we going to support these people? Are we going to start looking for ourselves? And this could be the possibility that there is a sorting out going on at the moment. And some psychics have said this. Two-thirds will go to a place that is much more uncomfortable, and one-third will open up to a whole new level. And it's possible that everything that's going on at the moment, in fact, the worse it is, the more opportunity we've got to look, and this pressure can bring a change in us one way or the other. So many of the psychics saying two-thirds of the people, well, there's nowhere to go, but they'll suddenly experience a denser reality. Everything will be more difficult, but not as a punishment, because they haven't got it this time the way it is. So what they need is a lower frequency, a darker situation, so they can see themselves more clearly. Mm-hmm. And the people that have opened up, they're more available, they're more caring, they're less self-centered, they're looking to be available for other people. They'll suddenly have this other pop, where suddenly everything is unbelievably good.
Do you think those two can coexist side by side, or do you think, of course, this is just...
I think everything exists side by side. It's just a matter of frequency and dimension. I don't think there is a universe as we know it, Alan. I think everything is here. Everything. The stars aren't up there. Everything is here. And it's how we interpret, how open we are, the level we experience.
They're here, but
some people are in heaven already. This is heaven. And some people are in hell already. This is hell. Open or closed.
So
expanded, contracted.
Yeah, I mean, it brings up so many ideas and thought and feelings about this this thing called consciousness and how we then peg our little identity on the vastness of who we are, you know? So it's this play between dissolving into everything and being the ego personality who's observing that through our own filter. It's this dance. I mean, I guess that's what you're doing when you go out into the wilderness, you disappear and then you come back and you have a name and a place to live and, you know, feeding the body. And it's this interesting mix between these two. I think that human existence is about, and we're going to another level of that is what I'm feeling from what you're saying. Does that make sense?
Yeah, technically I agree with you. In actual fact, I don't look at things in that way. I suppose the closest I can look in dividing past and future and the moment is, again, it keeps coming back. Everything you need, not always what you want, everything you need is here now, right now. This is what you need. And if a truck's about to run you down, that's what you need. And it's up to you. Are you going to freeze? Are you going to contract and get, or are you going to become more alive and get out of the way? It's everything we need in every way. If you're living in a city, that's what you need. But it doesn't mean to say you have to stay there. Because when you've got that, your next level may be available. And it may not mean living in a city.
Wait, so everything is here, what we need, but we still have the power to act on the reality that we're in. So, I mean, that's a sort of a almost duality. I mean, we've created situations. Let's say we created a relationship or something, and that's obviously what we need. But
that's right.
But then, yep. Then we have the power to say, I don't need this. So but is that then resisting what is, or is it saying, I'm going to change this?
Okay, let's use an example.
Yeah.
We usually choose a partner that we need. Right. And what we need is, we need somebody to show us the things we're not seeing about ourselves. Mm-hmm. So when we get a partner, once the honeymoon's over and the chemicals have dropped, and the love is blind bits gone, we start to see each other clearly. Mm-hmm. And the things that upset us are an annoyance to us, are the things we are not seeing and accepting in ourselves. There is nothing out there in that way. So we've come together, and this person is annoying us because they do this or that or the other, often little things. Mm-hmm. And instead of us looking at, well, where is that in me? We keep trying to change the other. And of course, they're trying to change you. Instead of saying, now what's in this? What's going on? How come I contract every time that person does that? And it's because we haven't seen that place in ourselves and we haven't accepted. Now, when we do, and when we get that, right, you'll find you no longer get upset at the person. You no longer judge them. You no longer get angry at them. But then you'll also find that maybe it's not appropriate for me to be here anymore. I don't need to be here anymore. Mm. I've got what's needed out of this situation. And then you allow the leaving, it'll be loving and caring and grateful and thank you. And I'll help you to set up your life so things can be as smoothly as possible. But now you don't need to live with somebody who's less conscious than you are.
But let's take that example and move it to the world level. Okay, here we are. We're living with politicians. We're living with wars. We're living with greed. You know, it's the same thing. We have this relationship that we're not liking. How can you use that same example and deal with the self on that level?
Easy. You are living with them. I'm not.
What do you mean?
You're living in a city.
Yeah.
I'm not.
But you're on the internet.
You get hassled by traffic and noise and all these things. I don't. And not only that, when I see them on the web, mm-hmm. there's no contraction. There is only caring for this politician. Not their behavior, but but who they are. Because once you reach this place in yourself, people's behavior almost becomes a joke. You can't really take a religious person seriously. How can they be so stupid? You see past that, and then you start to see who they are. And then you see another level and another level. And until in the end, what they say in the East, the seer and the seen are one. You realize there isn't a separation. There is only one. And so you choose your reality. Now, I'm making a saying to you, Alan.
Yeah.
You don't have a choice. That's where you need to be and what you need to be doing. And you're doing it perfectly. You're doing it great. You're bringing people together and you're disseminating this. You're doing your job perfectly. Mm. Great. And you need to write that book and you need to be giving talks more because yeah. You're unique. You've collected so much information. All these people you interview often, you know at least as much as they do. Often you know more.
Right.
Your questions are rhetorical to bring them out because they don't realize they're not expressing what there's really in there. You bring them out. Now, you've accumulated all this.
Yeah.
So each expert is an expert in their area, but you've accumulated. You have a huge amount to share.
Mm. Thank you. I mean, that's why I do it. I'm like, I'm interested in everything and I'm interested in knowing everything. And then, yeah, I mean, one way I share is by doing a program like this or my website or, I mean, that's the most fun for me. It's all fun, you know,
You're in tune, everything's fun. Yeah.
It's a great adventure and you know, you've been a very beautiful support for me and encouraging that and it's always good to hear from you and from that I'm doing, you know, that what I'm doing is making a difference because who knows, you just do what you do, right? You know. So I'm enjoying it. But just in some of the time we have left, I'm interested in, well, you know, how things in a way have changed, or maybe you don't even have awareness from when you were dealing with people to now you're dealing in other areas. Has anything changed?
Yeah, I think it has, Alan. What I experienced when I stopped traveling and I came back, something changed. Something dropped, let's say, deeper than it did before. My theory about that is that my system knew that it was going to go out again and it was going to be in the world and it was going to contact people at a certain level. When it came back here and it was all over, it dropped because I didn't need to maintain that level. And what I mean by that is, and it's not a hierarchical thing because everybody has the same. Everybody is equal and the same, but it's what level you operate at. And so when I was talking to people in the groups before, I had to, or I didn't do it, but the frequency had to accommodate the frequency to whom it was communicating.
Mm.
And so in a way, and this isn't a hierarchical thing, it would come down, it would lower its frequency in order for a possibility of this other person to connect with this frequency, which is much stronger than the words. And then when I came here back and knew I wasn't going out, it was like the frequency just went up. Energy came, totally shifted in a different way. And I think it's because just it doesn't have to change now. And that's why I said to you before we came on, I said I'm unlikely to talk in a general way. It's more likely to be the abstract.
Well, the abstract...
And the abstract... The abstract can't be understood by the mind.
But I think the more we talk about the things that can't be understood by the mind, the more we plant seeds of this other awareness.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
What else can't be understood? I mean, talk more abstractly. Talk about the most far out things that really we can't understand at all. You know? That's what I'm interested in.
that, Yeah, that's too general. Things don't come to me.
I know. You need to be asked like a question about, I think when you say you're sitting in nature and these animals are coming to you, maybe you can talk about what you're sensing in that level from an animal, when a bird lands on your shoulder, because they are living at a totally different frequency beyond the mind.
Yeah.
So maybe you can talk about, you know, the way you used to tune into people. You were an incredible reader, psychological reader, and in dealing with the depths of where someone was at. Can you do that with nature, and have you done that, and what's that like?
No, I don't do that with nature. It's got stronger with people. Occasionally people come here. There's somebody coming today. The tantra teacher's coming today. And when I look now, it's like having X-ray vision to energy. There's the behavior. There's what the behavior's hiding. Here's this level, this level, this level. And it's like seeing through all these things. Somebody was saying the other day that they had a breakthrough and now they can't stand being around people. In fact, I just wrote about it. In fact, they're saying, I don't like people. Well, first of all, that's because they're expecting people to entertain them.
Yeah.
But the main thing is they're not seeing people. Now, when you've gone past a certain level in yourself, you've accepted yourself, you automatically start accepting other people. But beyond acceptance, you love them. You care for them. You care for them. And
go ahead.
And so you don't react to their behavior because you see their behavior is behavior. It's automatic. They're asleep. They're not doing that. Nobody ever can hurt anybody if they're conscious and awake. You can't do it in any way at all. You can't be anything but loving you're awake.
Yeah, I mean, I think you really do understand the human realm, or you're tuned into that. But what do you get from nature? What do you get if you will tune in a different way? I mean, with that same sort of insight or that same depth of awareness from what's around you, you know?
Yeah, I don't have a description. When that... what happened was, when we were walking along the road, this big pigeon, it's almost as big as an eagle, landed on the road and just sat there, stood there. So I got down to it and started talking. Are you all right? You're not in a very good place. You're in the middle of the road. And do you need any help? And can I get closer? So I was chatting some in words in my mind, and then it flew up and landed on my shoulder. And when it did, it was like a burst of love for everybody and everything. Mm. It was as though what normally goes on now when I look at anybody or anything just expanded to such an extent. And it stayed there to an extent. It's still there. Now, is that bird conscious? Was it... I don't know. And I don't have language for what happens. I do know that when I go out into the trees or just look, because the whole house is all glass, when I look, the peace that passeth all understanding.
So in a way...
And everything here is so alive. There's no pollution. Everything is bursting with life. Unfortunately, so are the weeds. Mm. Everything is so alive and it's inspirational.
Mm. But isn't it weird that there's these two different worlds? There's the world of people and then there's the world of nature, and they seem to be almost on two different planets, you know?
It's only an illusion.
It's an illusion.
Yeah, we are as separate as we make ourselves.
Mm.
Let it go, not separate at all. Some people talk to trees. We had somebody, Michelle, used to come here, and she didn't not only talk to the trees, but she talked to all the elves and the spirits, and she saw the life of the land separate as entities. Now, whether they are or not, I don't know. I think we create our own reality in a way that's appropriate for us. But certainly, everything's alive. And as science will tell you, get a strong enough microscope and we're all made of the same stuff.
Right, but I'm just thinking that the personal dramas, these ego identification, is what keeps us from noticing this.
Don't we love it? Don't we love it? We love having a story. We love being important. We love complaining. Because if everything went our way, who are we? Well, that's the point. When you're not contracting, when you're not complaining, when you're not resisting, you're gone.
Right. And that's, I think, the world we're coming into, this world where we're going to exist on a whole nother realm. I think that's why you're doing what you're doing and what you have done for 40 years.
Just a technical thing, Alan. Yes. I think that's correct. And we already are. Mm-hmm. All that's going to happen is we're going to realize we already are.
Mm. Right. Right. And I think whether some people like it or not, this, like we've been saying, and it seems like what's happening, spontaneous awakenings. I talked to this guy who just did this movie, Wake Up, who overnight started to see energy and beings and ghosts and aliens, and he was freaked out. But over the couple of years, he's gotten used to it, and more people are having an awakening.
Yeah. More and more, yeah.
And that's what's so exciting.
Yes, yeah, fun.
It's really fun, and I hope that you come at least back for a visit to New York, or maybe it doesn't matter, you know, but maybe you'll come out of retirement in some ways.
Maybe by Skype or satellite.
Maybe. Well, you're doing some amazing things. I think we have to wrap it up. But
yeah. Okay.
I mean,
a good chat, eh?
Yeah.
And so all of you who are listening, just take a look at the possibility of actually activating with this. Go out and experiment with something. Dare. Just be spontaneous. Just for the rest of next 24 hours. Spontaneous. Don't think before you say anything. Don't look before you leap. Just be you.
Yeah, that's good. That's sort of your message people can hear over and over again. You know, it's it doesn't get old. It's just always to remind ourselves to be present and look for a life that is happening right in front of us. So thanks, Paul.
Great chatting, Alan.
Yes, I've been talking with Paul Lowe. His website, if you want to find out more about him, it's paullowe.org. And he has writings and CDs and I think DVDs there. Also on my website, newrealities.com, there's a whole blog. Paul sometimes writes five different little pieces for the last, I think it's been a year and a half. You have about 300 pieces there. So, I welcome comments on some of Paul's blogs. So look under blog on newrealities.com, and under blogs you'll see Paul Lowe. I think I call it Observations on Reality. And we could do it again sometimes. Okay, Paul?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay, and if people have comments about this program or anything they would like to say, they can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. And thank you for listening.
Bye, love.
Bye. Thanks, Paul. Thanks for everything. This has been Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. This is a band called Green Fire in the Fire.
I walk in fire. flame till the pain begins again. Go on. Like a star, like a star, like a star. Like a star, like a star.